Welcome to the Lucra Podcast. I'm your host, Mindy Kinnis. My goal is to fan the flame of the dream in your heart. As my guests and I share our journeys on the path to success, you'll get an insider's look at how we got to where we are and the beliefs that create our reality. When you follow your heart path to ignite your mind and delight your spirit, you can create a lucrative life of freedom and purpose. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back, my friends. I am so enthusiastic about today's show because I have as my guest today, Gordy Bell. He is not only the author of The New Millionaire's Playbook, but he is also the founder of Conscious Thought Revolution. We're going to get into all of this amazing stuff. Gordy, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, I'm so delighted. We were just kind of recounting the steps that had to happen for us to connect. And I want to share something with you. You don't even know yet that I'm doing this, but the reason that I was aware of you and knew of you is that Sean had met you at Genius Network. That very day, he came home and he was like, "Min, I got to tell you about this guy. Like, he was in the BC world with the Aura Ring and he's amazing and blah, blah, blah." And he taught me about curiosity. Then this is what we did. This right here is Sean Stevenson's list of curiosities. I don't know if he did this at Genius with you or he did it that night, but I legit carry this in my wallet all the time now because it's such a beautiful, engaging experience for myself, obviously for his memory, but also with other people. So I want to start there with curiosity. And then we'll talk about all of the amazing things that you have done and do and all everything. But this with curiosity, because that to me feels like a very great beginning point. What about you? Like, what made you curious about curiosity?
Yeah, that's that's such a good question. So I think for me, when I started asking the question of, you know, what is my purpose? And we'll get into this a lot later. I realized that in order to discover purpose, we need to actually look at what we are curious about. Because when we're not curious, we're in this aspect of what I refer to as we're in the knowing. And when you're in the knowing, you actually will notice that your thoughts are just regurgitating whatever yesterday's thoughts or last week's thoughts or last month's thoughts or last year's or since you got programmed by, you know, your parents, your family, the society. And so I realized that when we're curious, our awareness expands so much because I believe, and I think you agree with me, is that we are the universe experiencing itself through us. And so inherently, the universe is curious. And so when we tap into our curiosity, we all of a sudden expand our awareness so much and we live in the question. We live in the mystery versus the, I already know this. These are the facts that I have. And so that's something that is so rich. And what I discovered also being a father of three kids is when kids are always curious and yes. When they're in their curiosity, they're playing. And so that's what started opening it up for me. And then part of like a process that I developed to help entrepreneurs discover their purpose. And that's what Sean, you know, it was funny because when I presented this, this was like 10% of my whole presentation was this, write 25.
I don't think you got the
rest. Yeah. Well, it was crazy because I'm like, write down the 25 things you're curious about and notice what emerges. And yeah, like he texted me after and he's like, "Gordy, I think you've stumbled across something massive." And I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, I think there's something around curing depression by tapping into your curiosity. And I was like, "Whoa, tell me more." And so I guess he started facilitating this. He's got his friends and like
everybody
clients.
Everybody he talked to for months after that, it was like, "Well, what are you curious about? Let me pull out my list." He actually has 26 on here. But like, always that was the conversation. It all came from hearing it from you.
Yeah. And so it's just been, and so I was so grateful for him sharing that. And then we exchanged our lists and it brought us so much closer. Like the level and depth of our relationship, all of a sudden it was like 10 years of, you know, friendship in a day, just by tapping into our curiosities. And so, and there's a little bit of a vulnerability to it too. It's like when you're sharing what you're curious about, it's, you're like, oh wow, this person's going to know my inner world that's beyond this mask and facade that I'm putting on. And so it's beautiful. Yeah. And this is part of the things that, you know, when I'm coaching entrepreneurs or investors, I'm always asking, what are you curious about? Like, what are you curious about right now? And it actually disrupts your sort of cognitive framework that's always thinking the thoughts that are already there. And so it's powerful. And I think, you know, curiosity didn't kill the cat. Curiosity loved the cat. I don't know.
It's like curiosity created those 9 lives of the cat.
Yeah.
It kept living to be like, well, what next? What next? I freaking love it. So in your book, and I want to utilize this to like go into this journey of yours. But in your book, you talked about a lot of people growing up and following the narrative. Now, me personally, I'm like, wait, I don't even understand, because I think I came out of the womb as like a rebel and renegade. My parents will confirm this to you. But most people follow that narrative. And I'd love to hear a little bit about your story of that and then the breakout of that. Such a good story.
Yeah. Well, you know, for me, my personal journey is, you know, my parents came to Canada. They came to North America from India. So they were immigrants. My dad had $20 to his name, and he worked, they worked their butts off. And, you know, they, at the home, in the home growing up as a child, you know, it was, there was tension, there was stress. And that was, you know, later on in life, I just realized that everybody has their own trauma. And so they're just bringing that. But in, as a child, the meaning I made was like, oh, this must be because we don't have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And so I just need to make a lot of money and I'll solve all the problems in our home and in the world. And I think there's a, there's this ancient philosopher by the name of Biggie Smalls, notorious B.I.G. He said, more money, more problems. And, and anyway, so as a child of the internet, I got pretty good at finding opportunities and inefficiencies in the internet marketing space and started making money online in, you know, high school. And so I started, you know, winning this game of, and I remember when I was, I think like 7 or 8, and I said, I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 30 and or by 20 or whatever it was, like some ridiculous age. And I started making like crazy amounts of money. I started building ad traffic arbitrage platforms. That probably doesn't mean anything to you, but the equivalent is, you know how there's high frequency trading in the stock markets?
I do know about these things, yes.
Yeah. And so I kind of did the equivalent in online advertising. Before there was, you know, Facebook and social media algorithms, I started seeing the power of psychographic profiles and how you can, you know, design certain ways of convincing people to purchase things. And I got really good at it. And then I ended up building a platform where other advertisers and affiliate marketers would use our platform. And I could see how they were using psychology, mostly fear and greed, to help people buy shit they don't need. And so this was like, so I'm watching this happen and I'm seeing my bank account grow, but I'm feeling, you know, spiritually bankrupt. I'm like, what's, so I'm winning the money game, but I'm depressed, I'm sad, the problems I thought would be solved are only getting worse. I'm unhealthy.
Can we just pause for 1 second here? I'm like smiling over here. For anyone that's listening to this, I am totally smiling because I'm a little bit your elder. And I'm thinking about the fact that you just said you were like in high school when you started figuring this thing out. And I was like, good Lord. So when you're unhealthy, making money, figuring all this stuff out, how old are you exactly? Like high school?
So 16, 17, 18. Yeah.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. And it was really easy back then to like trick Google and get ranked really high in Google for keywords. And so it was a lot easier. It was a lot easier to, you know, make money. If you just put in the time and effort, it was easy to, you know, create ways of generating income. But it was purposeless. And so anyway, you know, in 2001, you know, 9/11 happened. That was a big moment of where, you know, I was like, watching everybody, my family, my friends, the entire world kind of like absorb this narrative that was being pushed down, and without asking any questions about it. Like, there were certain things that still have unanswered questions. And that was a moment where I was like, okay, wait, like something about this, the way the world works, doesn't make sense. I need to look at this. I need to really, unfold the fabric of the three-dimensional world. And so I started asking questions of like, how does money work? What is money? How does the government work? What is war? What is it? Like, how does it work? What are the incentive structures? What are the power structures? What is media? Where does media come from? What is its intentions? What is banking? Like, what are all these power structures? How do they exist? And when I started kind of, unfolding these power structures, I started realizing that the game is rigged. The game is rigged against most people. It's rigged against most people, and it's set up so that, a select few at the top win the game at the cost of everybody else's well-being, as well as the well-being of the planet. So from 2001 till 2008, I'm kind of like, understanding some of this, but I'm still building and scaling my businesses. In 2007, we had like a record day. We made six figures in a day. And then I spent that six figures in that day to buy this domain ctr.com, because in online advertising, click-through rate is a key success metric, which determines your click-through rate, which tells you how well your campaign is performing. So I thought I was clever. I was going to build this auto optimization platform.
You didn't know how clever you were.
Yeah. And then 2008, again, like another massive global event occurred, the financial collapse. And when that happened again, it's like, wait, why are the banks that create and the financial institutions that created this being the ones that are being bailed out, and they're consolidating all the smaller financial institutions? So again, it's like this rug pull where power and money is being consolidated to the top. And then as that's happening, then the Satoshi Nakamoto white paper came out, which to me was like, oh, cool. This is something new. This gave me like, a sense of hope that we might be able to change the game. So after that, I've met my wife I got married in 2009. And that was when I started kind of asking deeper questions around myself, because when I was pointing fingers, I kept being like, I would go and tell my friends or, my fellow entrepreneurs, like, you need to wake up. You need to understand how the game is broken and how everybody's, getting put into this matrix and being convinced of certain narratives that aren't actually necessarily true. We need to put some critical thought into this. And that doesn't work really well. And what I realized was a couple things that I needed to start asking questions of myself. And instead of pointing fingers outward, I looked back into what I was doing. And that's when I was like, oh shit, I'm part of the problem. Here I am building technology to help people use psychology to sell and make people consume things that aren't actually in their well-being. And that was a massive wake-up call for me. And so, from 2009, 10, all the way till today and beyond, I'm in this deeper question of like, who am I? What is my purpose? What is the nature of reality? What is human consciousness? And then I ended up, in 2015, I was deep inside of meditation, and I got this download that it was just so, I still like, when I share this with you, as I'm sharing it, I get goosebumps. It was like this message that was so clear. It was like, we don't need a higher click-through rate. What we need is a conscious thought revolution. And from that moment, I reoriented my entire I got clear on my purpose. I reoriented my entire professional career. And from there, I launched a venture capital fund where I said, okay, we're going to start investing in companies that are dedicated to raise human consciousness, because everything else is a symptom of our state of consciousness. And so, yeah, that's sort of like a little bit of the story. And yeah, I think also it's just I'm in this place now where it's like I'm putting together a body of work around this notion of thought capital. and how our thoughts are the most powerful currency we have to invest to create our reality. It's like the Lego blocks of building our reality. So, you know, if, and I've been saying this a lot too, is like everybody is already an investor because we're all investing our thoughts in any given moment. So where did we invest our last million thoughts? And where are we going to invest our next million? Because there's 40 to 60,000 thoughts happening per day. How are we aware of the thoughts that we're investing? What is the frequency and the quality of the thoughts? So anyway, that's something that I'm like really diving deep into and geeking out on. And that's a little bit of, I'll pause there. That's a
no, I mean, that was amazing because I'm just so happy that you are saying all of the things that you're saying, because I know that a lot of my community and audience, they've maybe heard me say things like this a million times, and always though, something could land differently when they're hearing it in different words from a different person, from a different perspective. So I'm like, y'all, listen up out there. He is preaching. This is amazing. Okay. So with that perspective, I am totally curious about this answer is, how do you personally define wealth? Like, what is it to you?
Well, firstly, I'll say, as I want to see a meme that proliferates the entire internet where it's just simply health is wealth. And so when I say health, it's mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual health. These are the four KPIs that you can begin to measure. And if in those four areas you are crushing it, then the abundance flows from that and you have a clear sense of purpose. So I think the old game was wealth was calculated by how much money you have in your bank. But in the new game, wealth is about how connected you are to yourself, how connected you are to the people around you, how connected are you to nature. And from there, you live from a place of your soul essence, and you start playing a game that's like, you know, it's multidimensional. I feel like you can actually unplug from the matrix, get downloads from the cosmos, come back into the matrix and play it a different way. And so that, I think, is, you know, how we can start to determine wealth is your holistic happiness. How truly happy are you? How much can you sit with yourself and feel gratitude? And that doesn't mean you're always going to be happy, because we're human and we have challenges and we need to move through emotions that show up for us. But the ability for us to move through the stuff that our human condition faces is the amount of wealth we have. But if we're stuffing everything and we're kind of just operating in a zombified way, that's not wealth. You can have all the money in the world, but if you're not feeling connected, you're poor. You're spiritually bankrupt.
Yes, sir. The whole motto for my company is where wealth equals well-being. And that's exactly what you're talking about. Like, that is the original definition of the word wealth. If you look at the etymology, it used to mean well-being. And we obviously have gotten so far away from that. But to your point, we do have that ability to unplug, come back into it. So I want to get into some of the details and the nitty gritty of how you personally do those things. I have a four-part question for you. It's based on acronym. We're going to go one part at a time. So the acronym is HERB, H-E-R-B. The H stands for habits. So what are some of your habits that allow you to maintain the perspective, like while running a business and, you know, being a dad and all the things that you are, what habits keep you most lined up?
Yeah. So there's a few things that I think are absolutely critical for my own well-being. One of them is I call it a thought audit. So I'm actually pausing and asking myself, okay, am I having my thoughts, or are my thoughts having me? And are the thoughts empowering or disempowering? So just with those two questions is a quick audit. So I do that multiple times a day to check in, and then I can change the channel. If I notice that it's just my programming that's running, then I'm like, oh, okay, that my thoughts are just having me. So I can, like, that's, it goes back to the curiosity. It's like, what am I curious about? And it disrupts the programming. And then, are they disempowering? Are my thoughts disempowering? And when the programming is running, it's usually a disempowering narrative, because it's your ego that's, you know, trying to just prevent itself from having more trauma. And so if it's disempowering, then the hack or the habit that I have is the question of, am I in the presence of self-love? And when I'm having disempowering thoughts, I'm not. So again, it's like, okay, if I'm not in the presence of self-love, how do I bring the presence of self-love right now? So that's one thing that's multiple times a day. Another habit I have, and I'm doing this with my kids as well, is it's called earthing. It's like walking barefoot in nature. So we go and get negative ions, especially we live in this world with, you know, all the screens we're with that's giving us the EMFs and the positive ions. So we go out into nature, we'll walk barefoot on the sand, in the forest, on the soil, in the ocean, and just get negative ions to recalibrate the system. That's another habit that's absolutely crucial for health and well-being. And then the other one that I created, and anybody that gets the book actually gets, you get free access to this. It's a 7-minute meditation that I developed. It's kind of an activation meditation. It's called the magic meditation. And it's just 7 minutes a day. I do it. I just did it before us connecting as well. And the magic stands for magnetize, alchemize, generate, inspire, and clear. And what it is it's a process where, because I've been studying this art and science of manifesting. And so what I wanted to do was see if I could bring all of that together in just a 7-minute process. Because most people, they'll tell you, especially entrepreneurs, they're like, I don't have 20 or 30 minutes to meditate. Yeah. And I'll usually say, then you really need to meditate for an hour.
Exactly.
and that's the other thing, is the 7-minute magic meditation.
Fantastic. I love that you are very open and clear about using your own stuff. Oftentimes when I'm asked questions, you know, like I'll go back to my own teachings and I'm like, this is exactly what I'm using. So it might work for y'all too. That is awesome. So the E in herb stands for environment. Environment could be your workspace, could be your home life, whatever space, physical space. How do you set that up so that you can, to the best of your ability, maintain focus, productivity, et cetera?
Yeah. Well, firstly, for me, it starts with the internal environment. So it's like I'm going in and I'm doing self check-ins with, you know, my inner child and checking like, what's the inner landscape? What's the inner environment? Where is the energy not flowing? So that's the first place I go to. And so I have a table at home that I'll lay down on and I'll just do a 10-minute check-in and do a scan of the internal environment. So that's the first thing that I do. And then in terms of at home, like we make sure that we have this device that interferes with a lot of the EMFs. So it shifts a lot of the EMF energies that are coming in. That's an important piece. We have lots of plants to oxygenate as well. I'd say, let's see, what else from an environment standpoint? So inner is, I'd say, the biggest. And then I think also it's being around people that are positive, high vibrational frequency, aligned, like people who you can connect with and have conversations with. And if you notice, one of the things that I'm always noticing is like, if, you know, I talk about this in chapter 5, is doing a relationship audit. Like, look at the last 10 people you've talked to on your phone. Are these people giving you energy or are they draining you of energy? And so that's constantly, I'm doing that and seeing like, where do I need to create healthy boundaries? Who are the people that are giving me energy? How do I support and serve them more? Who are the people that are draining my energy? Where do I need to create boundaries? That's another big one as well.
Yeah, that's huge. Thank you for mentioning that. So the R in herb stands for resources, and that could be books, programs, coaches, whatever, anything that has particularly inspired you, because I know there are a billion of them, but what have you used as great resources in your journey that you would recommend to others?
Yeah, well, I've spent upwards of 7 figures on resources to
all the things,
my software, hardware, and everything. So I don't think that everybody needs to go and do that. I'd say though, you know, one of the resources that is the most potent and powerful that we can use is free, and it's called breathwork. And so that's the resource that I think if we all begin to connect with, that's one of the best ways to alter the lens through which you perceive and create reality, is just connecting to your breath. And there's different types of breath work. There's different, because, you know, earlier on in my journey, I experimented with plant medicines. I experimented with different meditations. I experimented with neurofeedback. I did my friend Dave Asprey's 40 Years of Zen, which was really profound. But these are all, you know, these can all be very expensive investments to make. And what I've realized now over the last couple of years, is that we actually have all the resources inside of us already. And the big way to access them is through breath work. Like you can actually, and part of the 7-minute meditation, the magic meditation, is to activate certain centers in your body, because you can actually even activate DMT, which most people will go and, you know, get, have an exogenous substance to, right, you know, have an experience. But what's cool and what I've realized is that we can actually, you know, create that from within our own system. And so that's been really exciting. In terms of other like books, I'd say a really profound book for me in the early 2000s was A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. I think that one for me was the first time that as I was reading the book, I could feel my own consciousness expand. That was a really cool experience. It was like, it wasn't just informative reading or learning and taking data in that way. It was actually transformational in itself. So it felt like it was a transmission versus text on a page. And then all the classics, right? The Napoleon Hills, the Think and Grow Rich. Those are all great ways to really think about mindset and stuff. Those are some resources.
So many great ones. Yeah. So the B in herb stands for beliefs. This could be spiritual beliefs or just ways in which you see the world, which clearly you have written a whole book about that. So you have lots of them. But what are some of maybe your primary driving beliefs that have helped and allowed you to reach the levels that you have reached?
Yeah, I'd say unconditional love.
Oh,
yeah, that one has been, yeah, cultivating a container first for ourselves and then for the people around us of unconditional love. It shifts the nervous system from sympathetic to parasympathetic. And then you can heal. Then the energy moves, the emotional traumas, everything begins to move because the system begins to feel safe. And I'd say that if there was one thing that I could, you know, leave as a message to this planet and the people, is to cultivate unconditional love, because that is what, that's the medicine. That's the healing. So one of the key principles I always say is let love lead the way. Whenever there's a, you know, a decision to be made, inside of either a romantic relationship or with your children or in business, if you're creating a deal, if you're in a negotiation with a deal, if you let love lead the way, it changes the game. It changes the game. You're actually looking to create like a omni-win, like win-win scenario, because you're not only looking to serve yourself. You're in an expanded state and you're in coherence. And so, yeah, I'd say that's the big fundamental belief.
That is awesome, because that handles then all the other things. That is, I mean, I said the word primary. I'm like, that is the primary thing. And you know what it's reminding me of as you were talking about that? Sean and I used to have a thing that we would always say, and that's, love is not a game of you go first. Yeah. And it's like just exactly what you said of ourselves taking the lead to love, loving ourselves, loving our partner, loving, you know, whomever is in our world. That so powerful. So thank you so much for that. Now, I want to ask you about this, because you and I were exchanging some emails recently and you were talking about regulating. How, and well, let's first clarify like what that is for people that might not know and why that's so important to you.
Yeah, well, a big part of the tools that I've been equipped with that I also support others with is developing a relationship with your nervous system. And what happens is when we live this life, especially an entrepreneurial life, it's taxing on our nervous system. And if we are not connected to it, we easily move into sympathetic, which is fight, flight, freeze, fawn. And so for me, especially as I, you know, was in this crazy book launch mode, and it was like, it was an intense few months. And I could feel that my nervous system was, it was amped. It was like buzzing in a way that was not actually serving me. So what I, and I, it was funny because I told you, I'm like, Mindy, we got to reschedule because I need to go regulate my nervous system. And so we went up into the old growth forests where there's 500 plus year old trees. And we spent a day as a family there. And you just immediately, when you're in that kind of environment, you can feel yourself moving from sympathetic to parasympathetic. You can feel yourself breathing deeper. You can feel yourself connecting back to yourself more. And I think, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs don't have the opportunity to, because they're driving really, really hard. And what ends up happening is when we're not regulating our nervous system, something happens in the business. The business is a byproduct of our state of consciousness. And so this, it's so important for us to continue to work on our own consciousness and regulate our nervous system and be in a place of love and coherence, because in the business actually thrives, at least in my case, that's what I've discovered. And I think, and as I've been coaching, you know, founders that, you know, we invest in, that's one of the things, like, it's funny, because I'm like the opposite of other venture capitalists. Other venture capitalists kind of go to founders and almost like squeeze them and say, no, I need to tax your nervous system even more because I need to squeeze out profits. And I'm the one that actually will sit across the founder and say, how are you feeling? Like, what's coming up for you? How's your mental, emotional, physical, spiritual well-being? And then, you know, that you'll notice all of a sudden they kind of like, it'll be, and be like, oh, okay. And then they'll have a question, and I'll always say, okay, what does your soul want? What does your soul say? And they'll be like, oh, wait, I don't know. And then I always ask, well, when's the last time you talked to your soul? Did you need to make an invite through Calendly or through an EA to talk to your soul?
Right.
And so, yeah, these are the things that I think for the new game that we're playing for the new millionaire, which is somebody who wants to live a life of positively impacting millions of lives by discovering their purpose, expanding their consciousness. It requires a different way to look at the game of business and entrepreneurship. And so, yeah, these are some of the ways that, you know, I think regulating is really important. And you remember the Warren G song, regulators, mount up.
I mean, I didn't really until you bring it up again, but yes. You know what I love about this so much, Gordy, is that even when people have never experienced that, maybe not that they've never experienced it, but they're not aware of it, or they maybe don't even believe it because they're like, psh, no, like these woo-woo weird people, you know, whatever, it happens anyway. I've seen this so many times where I bring people on a retreat, get them outside of the city, outside of their normal work, crazy, stress-filled life, and I can see it physically as and of course feel it energetically, but it's like their whole thing just calms. And then they're like, wow, I've had the best weekend. I'm like, no shit. It's like you were in a different space. You became a different person in that. I freaking love that. I want to go back to another thing that you said, just to clarify for some of our listeners that might be like, wait, what is he talking about? Because it's so, so important, and just vitally, like, this understanding is so vital to people's progression and healing. But you said the ego preventing more trauma. Can you talk a little bit about what you mean by that and like what's going on with our ego?
Yeah. So our ego is developed from, you know, an early age, from 0 to 8. Our brains are in a theta state, and we're just absorbing our life experience and designing these protective mechanisms, which becomes our ego. So our ego is acting in a way to just protect us from feeling those feelings that it didn't want to feel in those early ages. And so that's what I mean by that. And part of what I've discovered is, you know, you hear a lot about like killing your ego or ego death, and which makes sense on some level. But what I've discovered is it's actually about integrating your ego and actually making room for it. Whenever it shows up, instead of like showing up sideways, you kind of observe it and you're like, oh, hey, there you are. Like, you're welcome. Thank you for having protecting me. It's like, hey, come. I have this button actually in my other computer. It's this pin that I always keep there. And it says, sometimes I wrestle with my demons and sometimes we just snuggle. And so I think that's really what the key is, and that's what's worked for me and continues to work for me. It's like bringing from the, you know, the awareness, the parts of ourselves that were developed at an early age that are still trying to keep us safe, and letting them know that it's okay. I got you. I got this. We can work through this now.
Love it. So I know that on the entrepreneurial journey, there are always challenges, always hardship along the way, always like something, right? Because that is the journey that we all go on. Some of us, myself included, have it a little bit more extreme than others. That being said, if somebody is listening to you now, and let's say they don't know anything about you other than hearing you on this show, and they're like, okay, this kid was like a prodigy at an early age. He's making bank in high school. And then he receives downloads and like all these things. It can sound likely much more simple than that journey actually was. So I wanted to ask you about some of the challenging parts of the journey as well, because I think it's important to showcase, especially to aspiring entrepreneurs, early stage entrepreneurs. It's like, we've all been through the shit. Right. So I wonder if you would talk a little bit about some shit that you went through.
Yeah. Well, early on, before it became a spiritual practice, which I look at everything now as a spiritual practice, including entrepreneurship. But before that, it was all like I was up until 4 or 5 a.m., like just wanting to create the next deal, trying to think of the next innovation, my sleep sacrifice. You know, there was times when there would be technological failures that would require finding a new developer to build this. Like it was always like challenges, but that like at that time, to me, it was just like, oh, I just need to figure this out and I'll sacrifice my mental, emotional, physical, spiritual well-being for. So the entrepreneurial journey, especially when you're operating from a place of, you know, make it happen, it is challenging. There's daily challenges, but now the challenges are less about the tactics, but it's more about the spiritual. It's like everything is an opportunity for transformation. So for example, like, you know, I'll talk about our venture fund for a second. So let's say one of our portfolio companies that we've invested in, they're having a cash crunch or something. And I'm noticing that, there's like this tension that comes up. Oh, what if they fail? What would I tell my investors if we have a loss on a deal? That all comes up. And before immediately moving into tactics, it's like actually sitting with myself and be like, oh, what's coming up for me? What am I fearing? What's the fear? What's the concern? Am I fearing of looking bad to investors? Am I fearing being a failure? And so the problems shift. It becomes an opportunity for transformation. And then so much clarity comes from that. When I sit with that, I'm like, the answer shows up. And so I definitely don't want to say it's easy, but when you operate from a place of your purpose, it's less about an, you know, entrepreneurial hustle grind, and it's more about your mission. And because you're taking care of your mental, emotional, physical, spiritual well-being, you have the foundational framework to operate in a way that helps you, you know, alleviate the tensions and the sympathetic nervous system responses.
Yeah, so true. I want to shift just slightly, because I was thinking about the people that are listening to this now, and I happen to know that a lot of those people are very, very, very curious about like writing a book. They want to write books. They want to put their message out into the world. Now, you have launched this just beautiful thing. And here's what I want to say thank you for specifically regarding this book, is I have used this actually so many times recently as an example, because everybody's like, oh, books have to be 300 pages or they have to be this. And I'm like, By Gordy is like 160 pages and it's all it needed to be. Thank you for not like stuffing it with crap. Like a lot of books, you know, and a lot of publishers encourage that. So first off, thank you for that. Secondly, though, to speak to the people listening now that are like, well, how the heck do you do that? Where do you even start? Like, how do I do any of this? I'd love to hear a little bit about your book creation journey as well.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because a lot of my friends who are famous authors have been bugging me for years and saying,
well,
you need to come out with a book. You need to write a book. Like, it's time. And I delayed that for a long time because of my own like insecurities around it. It's like, do I really want to come from behind the scenes? I've been doing a great job of being a wizard behind the scenes and helping others achieve success. Do I really want to come out? And there was a point where I realized, like, if I really want to be in service, then I need to, and I want to, you know, experience the edge of my own discomfort and
Yes.
human experience, then this is the opportunity. And so a couple of years ago, you know, I'll share a little bit about this because it all relates, but
yeah,
when the thing they called the pandemic occurred, in Canada, it got pretty crazy. And they started mandating masks on 5-year-old and like kids, 5-year-olds for 8 hours of the day in school, they would have to be wearing a mask. And my youngest was 5 at the time. And both Suki and my wife and I, we were just like laughing. We're like, there's no amount of science in the world that can convince us that masking our 5-year-old for 8 hours of the day is going to be good for his well-being. And so we ended up actually moved to Costa Rica. We went to Nasara, which is in the blue zone. We spent 5-6 months there. It was such a beautiful experience for us because the kids started, they were learning things like archery and horseback riding, and they learned swimming while they were, so they were learning real skills. And for me, what was very interesting was, again, because my nervous system was fully in parasympathetic there, whereas here I was moving into sympathetic because everybody was fearful, mm-hmm. and was like the amygdalas were hijacked and everybody was like zombified and it was scary. And it's not everybody, it's not their fault. It's just that's what was happening in the collective consciousness. But while being there, and, you know, my heart rate variability, which is one of the things I talk about in the book, went through the roof because I measure it with my Aura ring. I worked a fraction of the amount of how much I work now, yet my results were exponential. So like the amount of work I did went down like this, yet my results went like that. So that was really cool. And it gave me the freedom to start working on the book. And I realized that this is a moment that we need to really write a new narrative. And so I started working on it. I you know, put together the initial concept, like, what do I want to talk about? What do I want to share? You know, if I've spent over $1 million on discovering a lot of these tools, resources, strategies, how do I make this as concise and useful and practical as possible for people? And one of the things that I actually take pride in is I think laziness can actually be a massive, massive attribute. And it's a really powerful aspect to have if you channel it, because lazy people, especially if you're an entrepreneur, you figure out how to do things easier, faster. You figure out the hacks.
I am totally who you're talking about.
Yeah. And so for me, it was like, how do I turn this into something that's going to be really easy for people so they don't have to read a 400, 500 page book? And so that's how this came to be. And then I wanted to, you know, a lot of it was starting to, you know, use voice notes. So I would talk about, you know, how do I want to break this down into themes and topics? What are 7 keys? I wanted to keep it simple. 7 keys. What are 7 keys that if somebody was to take and apply into their life, they would immediately get a transformation. It would alter the lens through which they perceive and create reality. And so, you know, and I had, as I was writing it, I would test with my friends, like, does this concept make sense? And it would, and I would get good feedback. And so originally I was going to self-publish because, you know, I have one of my companies is a growth marketing agency, and that's my background. But then we ended up having a conversation with the CEO of Hay House, Reed Tracy, who's a lovely man. And he convinced me, he's like, Gordy, just let us publish it.
He's like, no, we want this.
Yeah. He's like, let us publish it. We know what we're doing. And so part of also what I wanted to do was publish it on August 8th, which is known as the 8-8 is known as the Lionsgate portal. It's a potent cosmological time for manifesting
it's like
abundance.
Like infinity on its side.
That's it. And even though that you typically it takes a year and a half to publish a book, they made record timing and we did it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, Corey, this was January of this year. This was January of this year. Okay. When we had that conversation and he's like, Corey, that's not doable. Like, and I said, that's like, that's my thing. Let's do that. And then he came back. He's like, we're going to make it happen. And it happened.
Wow. That is amazing. I'm so happy you told that story because I certainly did not know the behind the scenes. I also love that you broke it down into keys. When I teach my retreat, I have the four heart keys. I'm like, these are the four things you got to do to unlock all this stuff. Yeah. Yes, yes, and yes. Okay.
What are your four keys?
Gratitude and appreciation.
Yeah.
Love. Obviously. Forgiveness.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is to ourselves.
Yep.
And then trust. Just to be like, universe, you got me. This thing's leading the way. If I can follow that compass point, I'm solid. So yes, thank you for asking too. I have a final question for you, and I'm just ecstatic about whatever is going to come out of your mouth. I want you to put yourself into the mindset of somebody who is in the struggle right now. They might be early stage in their business. They might maybe haven't even started yet, but they have a dream. They have a vision. They have this like urge within them that all of us, we get it. Cause it's like, yes, that's where it starts, but they're not feeling the progress. They're not maybe seeing any progress. Maybe they haven't made any money yet, or it's not enough, you know, for whatever their lifestyle is. I'd love for you to just speak from your heart to theirs. What would you tell them?
Yeah. Well, firstly, get this book.
Read the book. Listen on Audible, whatever you got to do.
Yeah. Yeah. This is perfect for you. But what I would say from my heart to your heart is tap into your soul and really see if what you're working on right now is lighting your soul on fire. Is it something that when you're feeling into and thinking about and working on, does it make your energy increase or decrease? That's the first litmus test. And if you feel like you're just doing it because you feel like that's the opportunity, but it's not something that's lighting your soul, then that's something to recalibrate and look at. Also, I always talk about, you know, there's a way you can begin to engineer synchronicities. Again, the magic meditation will help you with that. Start looking for the synchronicities. Those are the biofeedback signals from the universe. If you're not getting the synchronicities right now, the universe is saying pivot, move slightly. Another thing I would say is really focus on your mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being. Begin to measure those four aspects because that's the foundation. And if those are not in check, it's going to be a struggle. And the new way of doing business and the new way of making impact in the world is going to require human flourishing as AI and artificial intelligence, machine learning, quantum computing, the metaverse, all of these begin to proliferate and accelerate. It's going to become more challenging to discern what's real and what's not. It's already challenging to do that. So it's that much more important to really connect to your true essence, who you really are beyond the human meat body that you're occupying. And when you do that, the clarity ensues. And so that's what I would say. And trust, like you said, you know, your fourth key, trust the process and trust your journey. And then I would also lastly say, from a more pragmatic perspective, have mentorship.
Yes.
Get a good coach, start communing with people who have already done it. Get into those circles, follow where the success is, and you will get it through osmosis. So uplift, again, your relationship audit. Look who you're being around. Are they pulling you down or are they uplifting you? Be inside of an environment where you are being uplifted and all ships rise with the tide.
Love it. I could just do a little mic drop, right? So in addition to your book, obviously a great resource, dear listener, dear viewer, go buy the book if you don't have it yet. But if someone is maybe waiting for their book to arrive in the mail and they're like, well, I want to check this guy out. You know, what is he all about? I want to follow him. Where would you recommend that they go?
Yeah, so our main website is ctr.com. You can learn a little bit more about our ecosystem. Again, we're working towards measurably accelerating the evolution of human consciousness. So we have a venture capital fund. We invest in companies that are building technologies that do that. We have you can see some of our portfolio companies. If you're looking to work with me, I take on a handful of entrepreneurs each year and help them move from where they're currently at to making a quantum leap to where they want to be. I'm on Instagram now, which is crazy. I never said I would be, but part of, again, exploring my own edge of experience. So I'm putting out really cool content there. I think that would resonate a lot. You can also get free. We put together like $1,000 worth of free resources that we're just giving away for people. So just go to newmillionairesplaybook.com. And put in your order number, and you can get access to all of that right away, including the 7-minute meditation. And I guess like soon we will be launching. I guess this is kind of secret, but I'll share it.
Yes.
We've also been we've been working on it's called the new MBA. So the old MBA is somewhat obsolete. It served its purpose, but the new MBA, the NMBA stands for the New Millionaires Breakthrough Accelerator. It's a 7-module program that you can do at your own pace. And that'll be released in the next couple of weeks here. So you can also sign up, get on the wait list for that. And that'll really just accelerate your journey. So there you go.
Amazing. Again, dear listener, dear viewer, you can find links to everything that he just mentioned down below, whether you're on lucra.com or watching this on YouTube. So definitely check Gordy out. He's got so much valuable stuff that he is just gifting and giving away. Gordy Bell, this has been absolutely a delight. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you. My pleasure. Looking forward to talking again soon.
Thanks ever so much for listening. Whenever you're ready, here are 3 ways I can help you create a more lucrative life. 1, subscribe for free to my lucrative newsletter for weekly insights on business, money, and mindset. 2, join Club Lucra to connect with a like-minded community so that you don't have to go it alone. 3, work with me one-on-one to chart the course from where you are to where you want to be. Everything you need is at lucra.com. That's LUCRA.com. Lucra, where wealth equals well-being.